We've got a special guest. When we went through our marriage seminar, we're not going to be doing marriage, so relax. I know we just came out of a six-week marriage series that was just phenomenal, had some great stuff and great reactions from that, seen some ministry time happen, seen healings happen in couples and relationships. It's really cool stuff. Today, we're going to hear from a special guest speaker. If you came to our marriage event, our XO conference that we simulcast from Gateway Church, Pastor Jimmy Evans has this thing every year that he does for marriage couples called XO. It's phenomenal, but we discovered a new speaker on that, and everybody that was there loved this guy, a guy named John Gray. Yes, amen, man. For those of you who have heard, I mean, he's gonna preach some just awesome truth, but he does it in very lightly, and it's fun, and it's he's a pastor. He's just an amazing speaker. I think you guys are gonna get a lot out of it. So I'm going to be back a little bit later. I'll pray and close it all up. But right now, sit back, man. Get your pens and paper out. There's places that you can take notes in your worship guide. And then I'll be back to close it up here. But with no further ado, let's listen to Pastor John.
I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. And because we are just now getting acquainted, I don't want to act up. So I'm going to do my best to preach what the Lord gave me. But to this great church and to your great pastor, I first want to say thank you to Pastor Stephen and Holly. Thank you for allowing me and my wife, Aventer, to come and be a part of what is clearly globally known as a supernatural revival breaking out in Charlotte. I don't think I have to tell you that God has gifted you with probably the most relevant voice to this generation speaking right now. You guys are blessed. I know that you know it, but I want to give honor where honor is due. I do not believe in worshiping men, but I do believe in giving honor to men. And I want to honor you in front of these people, that what you and your wife are doing is nothing short of supernatural. And I'm so glad God chose you because he knew he could trust y'all. And may the Lord continue to blow your mind. Elevation Church with the orange Bibles. Shout out to me for rocking the skinniest jeans I own. These are my Stephen Furticks. This is as close as I get. When he asked me, I said, babe, I gotta go get some tiny jeans and a little shirt. You know, he's all in shape. He's like, God just wants your heart, wants your soul. Stop showing off. Some of us, he's enlarged our territory. I don't fast, I slow. I believe church should be enjoyed and not endured. And so I'm grateful to know that I got family in Charlotte because the same blood that saved you saved me. So that makes us blood related. Put me on your Christmas card, scare the neighbors. Hey, Jenny, you got a black guy on your cart. I know, he's my brother. I just found out. I didn't even know. It's so amazing. Just praising the Lord. It's awesome. Luke chapter 7. I'm reading from the New King James Version, Luke chapter 7. And if you would just go to the 36th verse, I do want to give honor to my wife of 4.5 years, Aventer Gray, all the way from Dothan, Alabama. I have a Southern belle who has blessed me with two beautiful children. We had them 11 months apart. And so I thank you for saying yes to me and for covering me in prayer and releasing me to preach the gospel, which is my heart's desire for the rest of my life. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I'm not who I am without you. And I love you. The church today is at a crisis of conscience. We are in one of the most difficult times in the history of our nation. Recent events in the political and social spectrums have literally shaken the foundation of our nation. And caught in the middle of that is a church that needs to make up its mind about who they want to be. I am no longer interested in apologizing for being a Christian. Everyone else can live how they wish, say what they want, do what they want, but the moment I say the name of Jesus, apparently that is offensive. And that's going to be okay with me. For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In an era of moral relativism and secular humanism, we need the truth of the gospel, and we need the truth of the word to be shared in love, in humility, in grace, in passion and clarity like never before. We need voices that will not compromise. We need churches that reflect the heart of God and the character of Jesus Christ. We need more places that elevate the soul and minimize the flesh and fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. And I believe I'm in one of the 55 campuses of this church that knows exactly what I'm talking about. A church that does not care about color, but cares about kingdom. We lay down our culture to pick up the kingdom, because in the kingdom, the only color that matters is red, and that's the blood of Jesus. Can I get somebody to give God a praise all over Elevation Land? There is a sound that God is releasing from those that he can trust. For everything that happens between heaven and earth is in form of sound. We give God a sound. It's called worship. He inhabits the praise of his people. When God wants something to shift in the earth, if you read Revelation, a trumpet sounds. There's something about sound. And when we let out a certain sound, it lets God know that we're ready for the next level. We're ready for the next thing. These songs that we have been singing were not just songs to make each other feel good, but they have left our soul over our vocal cords into the atmosphere, up into heaven, received by a living God. And then he in turn dispatches angels with the answers to our prayers, and our lives are changed, our hearts are healed, our bodies are restored, and minds are renewed. This is the power of worship. I said I was going to act right. So let me throw my eyebrow up and become academic. There is so many different Jesuses, people aren't sure which one to connect to. Depending on your background and depending on how you're raised, God looks very different. For many of us, we met the Old Testament God, who was laws and religion and self-effort. And the moment you fail, the picture we had of God is, you better not do it. You better not sin. Ooh, do something else. I got a new disease. I'm gonna throw it down there. I haven't even named it yet. But that picture of God flies in the face of grace that showed up in the form of a baby in a manger, and angels began to sing to shepherds in a field. And why shepherds? Because shepherds were the lowest on the social totem pole. God did not come to announce his gift to the best of the best, but to the worst of the worst. And he announced it to shepherds the same way he announces the revival of the soul to those who are broken. And this is not an academic Jesus, but an experiential Jesus who comes to meet us beyond our book knowledge and beyond our wisdom. And he comes to those who are broken and who are humble and who say, I cannot get it together. I don't have all the answers. God, save me. But who can be saved? And how do you know if you're saved? Is it a special combination of words? You have to stand a certain way? You have to give a certain amount, tithe and offering. Oh my gosh, I can only do tithe. What about offering? Oh Lord, help me, Jesus. Or what about, can I wear the certain things? Because at certain churches, you have to wear white on first Sunday, and you gotta wear white gloves, but you can wear white all day. If your heart is dark, it doesn't matter. And the days of religion are over, and real relationship now comes to bear. But what does relationship look like, and who can be saved? Who's allowed to come to Jesus? So many people have seen bad Christian TV where you're shamed into relationship with Jesus. Or somebody's trying to scare you in the relationship and they're looking in the camera. I'm gonna tell you what right now. You better go ahead and call that number on your screen or you're gonna burn in the hot lake. your fire. I'm going to tell you right now, you better call that number. I'm going to send you some water. You can put it on your kneecap. It might even heal your arthritis, but you better call that number right now. You're going to burn in a hot lake of fire. Well, I'm frightened, and I'm turning the TV because I don't want that Jesus. I want a Jesus that hangs out with broken folk. I want a Jesus who was God in the flesh and hung out with those who were so unlike God. And he made those who were broken feel like they mattered. I want that Jesus. I don't want the pretentious version of Jesus that means I have to give a preponderance of words and I have to explain myself. I want a Jesus that if I come into his presence before I can get it out, he already knows. I want to talk to you today from the subject, no words needed. No words needed. Coming here to Charlotte has already proven beneficial to my health. Because right here in the first 10 minutes, I've already lost 6 pounds under these prison lights. Feel like a rotisserie Negro. I'm cooking. Who wants dark meat? Just, Jesus, burning up. Turn the air conditioning up in here. Jesus. But I will thank God because that man of God is a prophet, because in the green room there was brisket and I knew that he had heard from Jesus. Been in some of these green rooms and like, Pastor John, we've got some celery sticks and some hummus and we just got an exercise video for you if you want to watch it. No, I don't. Give me something that used to be alive and is now dead and has been fried in grease. That's the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 7. A lot of times religion says you have to explain yourself to God, but I want to show you an illustration that shows if you can just get into his presence, no words are needed. 36th verse, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a real prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Ooh, sinners come to church. Ooh, dirty, they come to church. Ooh, she's got tattoos. Ooh, he smells like alcohol. Ooh, dirty. Ooh, I don't want them sitting next to me. It messes up my worship experience. I'm just trying to encounter God, and somebody next to me doesn't know God. How dare those ungodly people do ungodly things? And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, about a year and a half's worth of wages. And the other 50, about a month and a half's worth of wages. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman, but said to Simon. Catch that. He turned to the sinner, but spoke to the religious elite, the spiritually aware. He turned his face to the broken, but gave his correction to the Pharisee. He said, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but she, this woman, has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, it's the first thing he says to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say in themselves, who's this guy? Who does he think he is? It's blasphemous. It's crazy. It's outrageous. Who's this guy? This is Joseph's kid, right? The carpenter's son. He's over here forgiving sins. This guy's crazy. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. No words needed. To adequately understand what's happening in the scripture, there are a number of places where Jesus was anointed by a woman. The Gospels all have different accounts, but most theologians believe that this occurrence in Luke chapter 7 was unique to Luke. This woman was different from the whole Mary and Martha situation, who we know. We get that one, right? We got those. This is someone different. This is a very unique moment in the development of who we are finding out scripturally who Jesus is. This is still near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You know, he was 30 years old when he was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. The dove came down, the voice from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he goes into the temple. He starts reading out of Isaiah. He says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But I'm in the building. Holler at your boy. He starts showing off. He starts preaching. He's walking on top of the pool. He's not swimming anymore. He's walking past people with withered hands. They're stretching out. His name is Jesus. He's doing all kinds of stuff. And the Pharisees is like, yo, this dude is cold. This dude's doing some real stuff. And the Pharisees knew enough about the law to know that Messiah should be coming from the line of David, he should be born in Bethlehem, he should have certain criteria, and all these things happened. Anna prophesied, Simeon prophesied. He was born under supernatural circumstances, 30 years of preparation for 3 years of public ministry for 3 hours of purpose. For from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, when he hung on the cross and paid the transaction for my dark, filthy sins, he lived a sinless, spotless life. And this was at the beginning of his ministry. And the Pharisees were trying to figure out who Jesus actually was, because up until Jesus, they were the ones people came to. But then Jesus shows up and he's kind of doing what they thought Messiah would do, but he's not doing it for the people they thought he would do it for. Why doesn't Jesus want to hang with us? We're the in crowd. We're the cool kids. Jesus is like, you can keep the cool pretension. I'm going to roll over here. I'm going to hang with the tax collectors, the drunk folk, the sinners, the lepers. I'm going to chill with them because that's more in line with what my father would like. And oh, if the church would grab that there is no velvet rope in church, but there is a scarlet thread. So the Pharisees got together like, let's this is a political moment. They're trying to see if Jesus is going to play political ball. They weren't sure if he was, you know, a rabbi. Is he going to be a politician? Because at this point, the Jewish establishment was thinking that when Messiah shows up, he's going to overthrow the Roman rule. We're finally going to have power. We're going to be like, yeah, now y'all bow down. Ha ha. We in the building straight out of Jerusalem. You know, it was that kind of vibe. So they were trying to see if Jesus was going to play politics, but Jesus is beyond politics. Jesus is not big on elections. He can't be voted out. Last time I checked, he's still on the throne, and his throne cannot be breached, and it will not be abdicated. He is seated at the right hand of power, and he's got all authority. Hallelujah. But Jesus takes the invitation from the Pharisees, and they say, hey, we'd like you to come to dinner. We want to talk to you. You're doing some great stuff out there. You're going to come over here, have some roasted manna, have some hummus, whatever. You do your deal. So Jesus is like, cool, I'll roll. He gets there, and as he sits down, the Bible says a sinner woman, which is a nice first century Jerusalem way of saying prostitute. She finds out that Jesus is there, realizes that he is seated at the table, and she rolls up behind him with a box of a year's worth of oil, and she starts crying. And she starts this process. Somehow she is no longer behind him, but now she's in front of him, kneeling. She's weeping. She is so emotional that the tears are actually washing the dirt from his feet. She has been given no towel, so she begins to wipe his feet with her hair at a table full of religious leaders. This whole exchange is going on. Jesus is sitting there like nothing's happening because Jesus loves to break up religious pretension. This woman didn't care about the religious pretense in the room. She was desperate. Nothing breaks up pretense like desperation. Too many places we come. I guess I'll go to church. I guess I'll go ahead and go to the 9:30 service. No, you guess? No, you get to go to service. You get to worship God. God is not in heaven saying, I sure do hope they come see me today. I've been lonely up here. No, he's the living God. He's got angels that cry, holy, holy, holy. And on the other side, they cry, holy, holy, holy. Do you think he needs our worship? God has no need of anything, for if he needed anything in that place, he would cease to be God. But that he welcomes our worship is an honor in and to itself. And we who are his children get to give him what the angels cannot give him. And I offer you an opportunity right now to give God 10 seconds of crazy, uninterrupted praise. 10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, hallelujah, 4, 3, 2, 1, yeah, 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 hallelujah, yeah. She was not invited, Pastor Stephen. She was not on the guest list. She was not exclusive. She wasn't in the club. And she didn't care. Oh, that the church would be the church and welcome those who Jesus would welcome with open arms. I grew up in a church. And I've been to churches where if you came in with certain clothes, they would tell you, go home and change. There was a brother over here with a premium beard and a boat neck shirt, and he had a knit hat on. In my little church in Cincinnati, them ushers said, uh-uh, baby, you need to just go, no, no, go on outside. When you get yourself together, you can come back in. Because apparently wearing a hat was offensive to God. But if Jesus had been that usher, he would have said, I'm so glad you're here. I don't care that you're wearing a hat. Get on in here and don't sit in the back. Come on down front. I want you right up front because I got something right for you, where you're living, what you're experiencing. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Apparently, the church has forgotten that we are not a museum for the spiritual elite, but a hospital for the broken. We get nervous when certain sinners and certain types of sin come in. She smells like alcohol. He smells like cigarettes. That's not cigarettes, that's reefer. And you smell like pride. And at least they're keeping it real. We like the kind of brokenness that you can hide. Notice that the Bible says she was a known sinner. That means she did that thing right. She was partying, backing it up. Bang, bow. She was a known sinner. What would make a known sinner want to come and meet a religious leader? When you can't get unsaved people to come to most churches, what was it about Jesus that actually made religious people scared and offended, but those who were broken were drawn to him? Could it be that Jesus had a heart for those who everybody else had cast away, and the way he loved on people was so relational and conversational that they were able to be at ease with who they actually were instead of putting on the mask of religion like we have already arrived? I want you to know that Jesus loves you as you are. Take off the mask. Show us your scars. There is a king who loves you as you are, and he's so loving he will cover you and he won't tell your secrets. This woman is weeping, and while this is going on, she's weeping, she's wiping his feet. It's very uncomfortable. The Pharisee says to himself, if Jesus knew who she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. Funny how judgmental folk are about broken people. So let me throw a monkey wrench into the story. How many of you have ever had a dinner with people, family, friends, a formal dinner? You didn't put the paper plates. I'm talking the good china. You know what I'm saying? Like you've got a dinner. If you've ever been to a dinner with, you know, black tie affair, you know, it's a high level of clientele, or you've had a dinner in your home. How many of you would let a complete stranger barge into your house and begin crying over the feet of your guest of honor without you saying, hey, get her out. What's going on? Get her out of here. This is crazy. You don't just come in my house. Who would let a perfect stranger come into your house? Maybe the reason why Simon didn't say anything is because the young lady had been there before. That's good preaching, ain't it? You never thought of that, did you? This is Real Housewives of Jerusalem. Episode 1 in the building. You don't let strangers in your house, let alone a known prostitute. She knew right where to go. She said he was at the table. She knew right where to go. She didn't ask because she had been there. And everybody else at the table was quiet too, because everybody had met her. But this is what I love about whoever this young lady was. She didn't come here to embarrass them. She came to get free. She could have messed up everybody's little marriage. Hey, Simon, how you doing? I'm just coming in. Oh, is that your little wife? Hey, honey, how you doing? He's not even thinking about you, but I'm just here for Jesus. She didn't say any of that. She walks right in, goes up to him, sees that he has not been properly honored. The religious people understood the law. And while they're judging her, Jesus then turns to her but says to Simon, hey, let me ask you a question. It's two people. Both of them owed a lot. One owed more than the other. The creditor forgave them both. Who loved more? Simon said, I guess the one who sinned the most, who owed the most. He said, right. He said, this woman, you offered me no water. You know the law. When a guest of honor comes into your house, you give him water for your feet. You give him kisses for your face. You give him oil. You've given me no water, no oil, no kisses, because you didn't think I was worthy of it, because you assumed that I was on your level. Oh, But this woman who you've judged as unworthy has done more for me than all you religious elites. All the conversation we've had no verbal dialogue, but the exchange is eternal in nature. Here is a woman who brings a year's worth of perfume. Why would a prostitute need a year's worth of perfume? Unless, of course, your profession makes you feel so dirty that the only thing you spend your money on is something that will make you smell good after the stench of being used by so many people. She brought her perfume because it wasn't working. External cleansing never works. This woman who was broken said, I've tried to get clean. I've tried to refragrance myself on my own, but no matter what I do, the stench of my sin is still with me. So I'm going to bring you my process, my effort, my best effort at trying to change me, and I'm going to pour it out at your feet. And then she starts wiping his feet with her hair. Yeah. Now, women, let me tell you something. That's a miracle. Y'all sit in there all day to get your hair done. Do you understand how much Holy Ghost it took for this sister? Well, I'm a mess, but I'm about to go. I'm going to go ahead and just wipe your feet because whoever you are. Now, I just got my hair done, Jesus. I'm just saying, but I'm going to wipe my feet with your hair. And this is what hair is. The Bible says the glory of a woman is her hair. She laid down her glory at the feet of the one who was worthy. Only one in this house is worthy of glory. Let me lay down my glory. Let me lay down my self-effort. Let me lay down my brokenness. But here's what's even crazier. How does she even hear about Jesus? You know, they accused Jesus of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He was always hanging with the dirty birdies and the naughty people. But you know how that works. The streets talk. Some of her girls were like, hey, you see that one rabbi right there, him? Mm-hmm. Girl, I tried to holler at him. He came over here. He started telling me about my childhood, speaking into my heart. All of a sudden, something changed. He didn't try to do what the other religious folk did. He spoke life to me and then walked away. He didn't try to use me. For real? She goes to another one of her friends. They say the same thing. Before you know it, Jesus has a reputation of having integrity. Jesus' character goes before him, and the people who are broken are talking amongst themselves, and they're telling about how Jesus healed and saved in the streets. And this prostitute who had no hope and no business at a state dinner for a religious figure busts in the house and doesn't care what anybody thinks. This is the power of desperation. In the middle, it's like somebody literally getting up in the middle of a church service, not waiting for an altar call, saying, I yield, I yield. What must I do to be saved? And this woman walks in, she begins weeping, but then her weeping turned to worshiping. Because Jesus doesn't condemn you. He covers you. He forgives you. He heals you. Is there anybody in here that's ever been covered and healed and forgiven by Jesus? Can you give him a praise if I'm talking to you? No, that's an applause. I'm asking that you give him a praise. Then Jesus says, hey, Simon, this woman whose sins were many, I mean, she was getting it in. Her sins are forgiven. Then the other people who were at the table who didn't have the guts to speak, they were all thinking to themselves. Jesus is like, I can hear your thoughts. He's like, I see dead people. Her sins are forgiven. Then he takes it another supernatural step. He says, and her faith has saved her. Can anybody tell me what she said to Jesus? Did she walk in and say, listen, I need to confess everything I've ever done. I need to tell you that, Simon, I know Simon. And I know some of these other fairs, she didn't say anything. And watch this. This is the beauty of the story. I never caught this until recently. Jesus didn't just cover her. He covered them too. He didn't expose the Pharisees because his love covers a multitude. Sometimes the church is so quick to point the finger and tell people what they're doing wrong and you need to change this and change that. People don't grow up saying, hey, I can't wait to be a prostitute. I can't wait to be addicted to drugs. Come on, heroin, get in my veins. Life happens. The enemy attacks. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And may we, the church, have grace for the broken and grace for people in transition, because God will fight for a soul until there is no hope left. And even if they don't know the words to the songs or any of the scripture, he will fight for them even if they have no words left. All she had was some perfume and some tears. She came to him. I don't know what to say. I'm a mess. I'm lost. I hate myself. I'm in the middle of a life that I didn't choose. This was her posture when she walked in. But before she could get it out, just being in his presence, she just began to weep. And as she wept, Jesus was speaking to her spirit. I understand, sweetheart. An exchange was taking place while she worshiped. Worship without words. Worship when your words fail you. Worship when the world fights you. And worship when worry finds you. Lift up your hands. Open your heart. Receive the free gift of the presence of Jesus, because he's already paid the price. You don't have to tap dance and posture yourself in a certain way. He's already paid the price. He's already given the gift. All you have to do is receive it. The Bible says this is the work that you must work. Believe on him whom he sent. And Jesus is the one that the Father has sent. This broken woman, a castaway from society, came to Jesus with what she had, said no words, got forgiven of all her sins, and saved. No words needed.
Did y'all get something out of that? We're not done. Just for a moment. Listen to me, guys. We can shout, something happens inside you when you realize the free gift that God has given to you. There's a free gift that we all have, and God's not requiring anything. This conversation happened just this morning where someone came to me and thought that God was mad and angry with them. God's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He's not cursing you. He's not, you know, you're sick because you're sick. Okay, it's not God sending something down to you. God loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And I can shout so much. I love shouting to God. Y'all come on up. I can shout to God. I can scream out to God. I can lift up my God. Because, man, he who has been forgiven much. Some of you, man, you think you're so far from God, man. You think you're not smart enough, you're not spiritual enough, or you're not rich enough, or you're not whatever, man. And God says, man, I've got something so much better for you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed. I will shout it to the rooftops, man. I will scream it and let people know. I want to encourage you today. You have a message. Everyone in this room has a message that someone out there needs to hear. I'm walking in a junkyard earlier this week. Was it this week? Was that this week? That was this week, wasn't it? It's been a long week. And I'm walking. It's pouring down rain, mud everywhere, man. I'm looking for a seat for my truck. I found one. It's awesome. And I'm walking down, and there's a humongo, very large individual, black brother, standing up there and looking at me. Okay, if you haven't noticed, you know, he's big. And I'm walking in this rain, and my whole flesh is saying, man, just go, go, go. Get out of this rain. It's muddy. It's junked out there. I just keep walking. And I see the guy, he's wearing tennis shoes in this mud. I had work boots on, and I looked at him, and I said, man, you're wearing the wrong boots for all this junk, man. You need to have some boots on. He's flipping and sliding. It's just slick out there. He said, yeah, I know. He said, I'm trying to find this part for my truck. I can't find it. He said, you know anything about a Chevy? And if you know me, that would be the wrong question. I'm a Mopar man. I love Dodges. I'm a Dodge guy. And I said, man, I'm sorry, dude. I can't help you, you know. And I'm just trying to get out of the rain and out of this mud and go home. So I'm walking through, and I get about 50 yards away from this guy, and God speaks to me. He says, go talk to him. So I went and talked to him. I said, man, I know you don't know me from anybody, man. But I need to tell you that God loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Don't quit. Don't give up. And you can just see the tears welled up in this man. He said, man, I needed to hear that this morning. He said, I'm tired. I said, man, God's not done with you. And he loves you, and he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. You have a message, church. Get out of your religious cycle and start loving people. Love them where they're at. Love people. They need you. You don't need to worry about their laundry or doing their laundry or cleaning them up. Not our job. Our job is to love people. To open up our hearts and just say, man, I know where you're at. I've been there, or maybe I'm there right now. And just begin to be real with people. We need to fill this church up. I'm going to tell you something I've never told a single soul. When God began to transition our church from the Quest over to Epic Life, Daddy and I were having a very strong conversation. And I asked Daddy, I said, send me your prostitutes. Send me the junkies. Send me the felons. Send me all the dirty people, man. We need to fill this building up. Because we got something for them. At your work, in your communities, there are dirty people everywhere, man, that think that they're no good. And you've got something for them. It's time you step out and become the church. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that draws us. Father, your word says that by your Spirit are men and women drawn. And unless your Spirit draws them, they can't come to you. So, Father, I ask that you would draw us out of our religion. That we wouldn't be ashamed to lift up hands to you and praise you and shout to you and glorify you. Not just in church, but out in the world. To tell people the message of the cross. Just love them where they're at, Father. If there's things in our life that are preventing us from doing that, God, I pray that you reveal it, and you just, Lord, as you always do, you just shine your love upon that so we can look at that and say, man, I don't want that in my life. If that's stopping me, if that's preventing me from living the life that you have for me, Father, take it from me. Take it from me. I have seen God do a miracle this weekend. I've seen God move in the lives of people just because they sensed the love of the Father. Because they recognize that Daddy's not mad at them, but that he loves them. And no matter what the world can throw at them, they know that God will turn it around for good. You need to know who you serve, church. But you have a daddy that loves you. He's not mad at you. You can't free people if you're not freed yourself. He wants to take your baggage. All you just got to do is give it to him. Father, I thank you so much for your Spirit in this place that's moving all across this room right now. Lord, there are people who have baggage in their hearts, and they just need to get rid of it. be gone. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Fill our hearts, fill our lives with your presence. Amazing things happen when we surrender. And just come to him. That's what she did. She surrendered her glory. She surrendered the thing that she thought made her important, that made her different. She surrendered it. And Daddy takes it all away. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. In Jesus' name, amen.